love him for who he is, share the gospel with him. And he shares about how he was, you know, he was part of the Aryan Brotherhood, and he had so much hate built up in him. And Jesus kind of delivered him out of all of that, delivered him from drugs and alcohol, delivered him from wanting to hurt people. He just said for the first time in his life, he just wants to love people. He wants to share the gospel. And he wants to do everything within his power to share that love of Jesus with other students. And so hopefully we can get that working. It's a powerful testimony. I don't want to share it myself because I'm a ball baby. And so when it comes to testimony, when it comes to how God has changed the lives of some of our students, it's just like cutting onions up here. But you guys, it is an honor and a privilege to be able to share with you this morning. You guys have been one of the staple churches for us from the very beginning. And so we want to celebrate that, and we thank you for that. You guys have been supporters of ours. You've been prayer warriors of ours. We've even had some of your people just stop down randomly. We were talking about that last night and just say, hey, we were praying for you. This is how. And that's been such a blessing for us. But the video talks about a changed life. It talks about somebody who started off as an outsider, somebody who was broken, somebody who was tied down with sin. And Jesus just transforms his life. And it's about a changed life. And that's really, if I had to sum it up, Kaiapha is simply about changed lives. Amen. I stand here before you today as one of those. God has used Chi Alpha in my life to change my life. I was invited to Chi Alpha. This is scandalous, I know, but by an ex-girlfriend of mine. And it was one of those things that I didn't want to go. I thought I was okay. I thought I was a good person. I was into the lifestyle and the life that I wanted, the party scene that I wanted to do. And so originally I just went to appease her. But what I couldn't shake, kind of like this morning with your worship team, is I couldn't shake the presence of God just filling the room. Amen. And so I walked out. It was the first time I'd seen anybody ever raise their hand in worship. And I was like, what are they doing? But I couldn't shake the presence of God and the love that the Christians had. And it was kind of one of those things. It was like, well, if I had to guess what Christians would look like, that's what they would look like. And so they just loved on me. And so the rest is kind of history there. And so my life is transformed by God using students out of Chi Alpha. Oh, there we go. Should we play this?
My name is Ryan, and I've been changed. So before I met the Lord, I really was selfish to the core. From middle school on, life was pretty much one big party. I was a big pot smoker. I was stoned literally every hour of every day. Weed, drink, snort a rail of cocaine, shoot it up, take any pills I could find, Oxycontin, Vicodin, bars, whatever. Just anything I could get my hands on, even cough pills if I was bored. About halfway through my sophomore year of high school, I decided that drugs and being high and having fun and doing my own thing, doing what I wanted, was more important than anything else. So I dropped out of high school, left home, and moved up to Chicago. I stayed with a convict. He was in the Aryan Brotherhood, prison for 10 years. Those were the people I got along with. I just really didn't care about anything. I didn't care about myself, my parents, my sister. I didn't care if I hurt somebody, killed somebody, I went to jail. I just didn't think about much. I was really dead. I was dead to reality. And I just hated myself and hated everything. So my sister was involved with Chi Alpha, and her friends were praying for me. She invited me to come visit. And when I came, I met three guys that I became really good friends with. I don't know, they just loved me without reservation, without expectation. Like, they didn't ask me to do anything. They were just my friends, and they accepted me, and I didn't even understand that existed. It baffled me that they would just hang out with me and drive me around and do stuff for me and not ask for anything back, you know? This guy, Josh Nicholas, was the one I was hanging out with, And I just began to ask him, like, you know, what did they think Christianity was and why he was doing the things he did and, like, why he loved God or whatever, you know. And I never got the answer I expected. It was never the typical, you know, whatever I thought Christianity was answer. It freaked me out. I just saw a real devotion, you know, a real relaxed love relationship like that he had with the Lord. And he just talked about Jesus like it was his, you know, he was best friends with him. And I just didn't understand that, you know. I'd never seen that before. There was something about him. There was something about everybody I met in Chi Alpha. I began to want what they had. You know, they had a real joy and a real peace. And I didn't think that existed either. And I don't know, really, like the Lord just touched me through their relationships, through their prayers. Like, I just began to break down inside, you know. I had this conviction that had already set in. I knew I wasn't okay. I knew I needed something more. And then I saw exactly what it was that I needed and what I wanted, you know. September 24th, 2008, it was the first small group I decided to attend, and I went there. It was JNIC's small group, and I don't know, I was just broken, and I didn't expect to be. I just was broken, and I was honest, and I said I was looking for something. There was a prayer meeting that night on campus, and we went, the Lord met me. I finally swallowed my pride and admitted to myself and admitted to the Lord that I wasn't okay and that I really was ugly and wicked inside and selfish. And I just talked to God about that stuff, and I told him I was sorry, and I looked at my life and I just didn't want it anymore. And so I gave it to him. Some really cool stuff's happened to me, you know. I was immediately like delivered from, you know, several addictions, like not only just like a physical addiction to like coke or, you know, weed or anything like that, but just my desires were really changed. Like I didn't want to get high anymore, you know. I didn't want to hurt people anymore, you know. You know, the Lord's really put this love and this joy in my heart, you know. And, like, man, it's all I can do to tell people about it, you know. Like, God, he's done so much for me. I don't want my plans anymore. I want his kingdom to be built, you know. I want him to come back, you know. I want to walk with him. I want to know him. I want to make him known. Like, man, there's just such purpose and such dignity in, like, walking with Jesus, you know. And I'm so thankful to have that. Like, so thankful. He really has changed my life, and I love him. You know, he's Lord, and I'll do what he says because I love him, you know. Oh, man, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. My name's Ryan, and I've been changed.
I have tried. I've seen that video multiple times. I've tried to make it through without tearing up. I cannot do it. But that is what we are on campus for, is to go after the unchurched, but then also protect the investment that you guys have made in your youth. Last night, watching Pastor David interact with the youth, he pours into them. And we feel like we're called to protect that investment so that we can be that next step for students, that as they walk onto a secular campus, that they automatically have a community that they can come into and just be loved on and be poured over, and protect them from some of the things that they'll see, experience, some of the ways that they'll be attacked at a secular university. But then we can go after students like Ryan, who didn't know the Lord, doesn't know what it looks like, And when I look at that testimony, it just pulls at my heart because God has brought me some broken, waste of space person and now has called us to reach the college students. And so with our name, one of the first questions we get when students walk up to us is, are you some kind of fraternity or sorority or something? And we used to hate that question, but we actually get our name from 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. And the Greek abbreviation for that is Christo Apostolai. So we take the first letter from Christo in the Greek, which is Chi, and the first letter in Apostolai, which is Alpha. So that's where we get our XA from, in case you're wondering. We don't want to look cool and act like we're fraternity, but that is where we get our name. We are Christ's ambassadors. And like I shared with you, I'm standing here today because God used Chi Alpha to save me. And God used the people to surround me and show me what it was to be a Christian, show me how to live life. And when I spoke with Pastor Dan earlier this week, I loved hearing his heart about reaching your community, being missional, reaching out, going. When I look at Matthew 28, Jesus tells us to go and make disciples of all nations. And sometimes I feel like we read over that. And it's a command. Jesus is telling us to move, go. It's what we're supposed to be doing as a church. Unfortunately, I've read a statistic this summer that said 2.6% of churches grow from salvations. That boggles my mind when I read that. That only 2.6% of churches grow through salvations. We stress being missional on campus with our students. We believe that they have 4 years to be missionaries on one of the most strategic mission fields that we see in the U.S. We have future leaders coming to us to be educated, coming to us for education. They're going to one place, and that's universities. We have future leaders of other nations coming to us. We have international students coming to us. They're coming to us on their own to be trained, to be reached. And we believe that if we reach them for the gospel now, we can reach our future. Amen? Especially our international students, if we can reach them with the gospel, if we can see their lives transformed by Jesus, they can go back and be home missionaries. They don't have to cross cultural boundaries. They don't have to learn languages that are insanely hard to learn. They don't have to, like, guess at things. They understand it. And we just feel like that's too strategic to miss. We believe that if you touch a college student, you touch the future. Monday is our first day of class at MSU. About 16,000 students have descended upon Mankato. Thursday and Friday was move-in day, and it's just chaos and fun. But MSU is the second largest university in Minnesota, way behind the U of M. U of M is like 60,000 people, which I did my internship at. It's crazy different there than it is at MSU. But we also have a heart in Mankato. There's four other universities that are there. We have a heart to reach those universities. We have students coming from SCC, from Bethany, from Rasmussen. The one college that we haven't gotten any from that we're still praying for is Gustavus. And so would you pray for us that we'd have students coming from Gustavus as well to be involved? This last week, we had the largest incoming international class that we've ever had at MSU. Last year, we had 1,000 international students total. This year, we had 600 international students come as incoming freshmen. I don't know about you, but the first thing that I think of is we have to do something. Mission field. Like I'm pretty thick-headed, but I'm not that thick-headed. Like God's like, hello, do something. And when I think about Watertown E-Free, I think it's good to give accolades and kudos where it should go, because when I look at your youth group, you should be proud of them. You should be proud of the product that has come out of your youth group. To see Pastor David just hanging out with his students, pouring into them last night. Because when it comes to handoffs, which is what I want to talk about tonight, I think your church does it well. But we need to keep going. My wife is a product of your church. Thank you. Our culture is at this point that we love ourselves. We love me. We are too busy being concerned about me to worry about anybody but ourselves. And our society markets to this. I somewhat like Apple products, but have you ever gotten the names of Apple products? It's the iPod, the iPhone, the iMac. We use software called iTunes, iWorks, and iLife. What are they marketing to? They realize that we're obsessed with ourselves. And we've told our next generation that they are very special. Believe me, they are special. No, I'm kidding. That was supposed to be a joke. It's supposed to be a joke. But we spend all of our money trying to look younger. We buy clothes that don't fit. We have surgeries that make us look younger. And we buy products that pull and tighten things that probably shouldn't be pulled and tightened. Church, parents, mothers, fathers, grandparents, and elders, I stand here today to tell you that our generation needs you now more than ever. They need your wisdom. They need you to be involved, to plug in, to mentor, to disciple into their lives, to pour yourself out into them, to show them what it means to be a Christian, to hand off your faith and show them this is what it means to be a follower of Christ. I believe that you and I live in a critical moment of handing off our faith. The couple of scriptures that I want to share today are ones that I feel like we're dangerously close to, but I want to ask a couple of questions. Are you a parent that's just too busy to sit down with your child and pour into them and pray over them? Are you maybe a little older? I'm older than 33, so that makes me feel old. But are you scared that you don't understand the younger generation, so you don't know how to pray over them or pour into them? Or are you a student who is stuck in the I generation and you've swallowed the lie that you're the most important part of your life? In football, the handoff is one of the most basic yet important plays, if you think about it. If a quarterback can't hand off the ball, they become one-dimensional, right? A defense knows how to read you. But at the same time, if the running back never gets the ball, he's never going to gain any yards or make a touchdown. And so it's this handoff that I want to talk about. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. You guys get the deluxe version of notes today. I don't normally ever give, the scripture reference. I never put scripture on the wall because I want our students to get into the word. But I have scripture up there today. You're lucky. I never do this because I want our students to get into the word. But it starts with this, verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. We can never forget that Jesus is the perfecter of our faith. That he is seated in a place of honor, not I. And when I look at this verse, it's an equalizer to me. Because it doesn't matter how smart you are, how good your grades are, what your major is, how good looking you are, how many books you've read, how good your salary is, how high you've climbed the corporate ladder. If we don't get the handoff right, if we don't keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, it doesn't matter how talented we are, how good we are at referencing scripture. Our faith will not be handed off. I also want to take you to one of the saddest sections of scripture in my mind. Joshua 1, 1 through 12 is probably one of the verses that God really poured into my life. It's like, this is what I want you to do. In Joshua 1, we see that Moses passes away. And God starts to, he looks at Joshua, son of Nun, and he says, Joshua. And he like gives him the ultimate pep talk. I want God to be my like coach in everything. Amen? Like, he's just like, Joshua, I want you to be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and courageous. I'll be with you wherever you go. And Joshua could have been like, not for me. I'm not talented that way. That's not my gifting, Lord. And I love his response because, I mean, this could be like an Arnold Schwarzenegger quote in a movie. Like, and he looks at his camp and he says, get up, in 3 days from now, we're crossing the Jordan. That just pumps me up when I think about that. That pumps me up like, that's the next generation. I want them to say, get up, we're crossing the Jordan. We're going to take back what God has planned, what God has in store. And then we see Joshua do all these things. If you read through the book of Joshua, but then we come to Judges 2, 6 through 10. After Joshua sent the people away, each of the tribes left to take possession of the land allotted to them. And the Israelites served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the leaders who outlived him, those who had seen all the great things that the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. They buried in the land that he had been allocated at Timnath-serah at the hill of Ephraim, north of the Mount of Gash. After the generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things that he had done for Israel. You guys, that's one of the saddest portions of scripture that I see. We've seen what God has done for Israel. We've seen that he's taken them to the promised land. They've crossed the Jordan. The walls of Jericho fell. God did all that. And right after that, there was a generation that neither knew him nor acknowledged him. This tells me my first point when it comes to the handoff is that the handoff is incredibly short. In church, I believe that we're standing dangerously close to a generation that will neither acknowledge him or know the things that he has done. We are seeing more and more students come in from churches, even good churches, who don't know anything about their Bible. The unchurched have no idea who God is. They've never even been to a church. I'm a football fan. And like I shared earlier, the handoff is the most basic yet vital. But yeah, as Viking fans, we're used to this picture, right? Like, no, Adrian fumbled again. And it's added staying. This is 2009, which was a fun year to watch. I think the last game, Adrian fumbled 3 times, and they lost, if you remember. But Adrian Peterson, I was just reading this last week, Adrian Peterson is the number one rated back in fantasy football again. But you guys, if he doesn't get the handoff, there's no way he'll ever gain a yard. There's no way he'll ever score a touchdown. You can be the best running back in the NFL, and it means nothing if you don't get the handoff. Last night we watched, Pastor David was watching that 1,500-meter race, and I was actually thinking about the Olympics when talking, praying over this, and thinking about the relay race. In a relay race, the exchange zone for the baton is 20 meters. And it takes 1.9 seconds to get through the exchange zone. If they exchange the baton before, they're disqualified. If they drop it, they're disqualified. If they're outside, beyond it, they're disqualified. 1.9 seconds they have to hand it off. We can be concentrated on me and I, but we will miss the handoff. If Adrian Peterson's more worried about how he looks than getting that ball, he's going to drop it. But I believe that God has placed you here and now for a reason. Have you ever thought about why you're here in this generation? Why you have the generation surrounding you? Instead of pushing them off and not understanding them, God has placed you here to pour into them. God has placed you in this time in history for a reason. He has gifted you with your specific talents and passions to serve the generation and those around you. If you don't understand them, even if you don't understand your gifts, but he doesn't want us just to waste them on ourselves. Hebrews 12, 1 through 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, this is where the younger generation out there, high school students, college students that are maybe here yet, I want you to hear me here. You didn't get here on your own. You didn't get here on your own. You're not sitting in this building because you're such a great person and that God needed your talents. You're sitting here because your parents, your family, people in this church poured into you. No matter how great your talents are, no matter how important you think you are, you did not get here on your own. We are here because there's a crowd of witnesses. I am here because there's a crowd of witnesses around me. The amount of money we make, how successful we are, how many toys we have, the education that we came from, if we never realize that God has gifted it to us for a reason, we're not using the gift right. I have a quote from Christine Kane. She says this, "The gift that is in you will destroy you if what is in you can't sustain you." God is trying to build what is on the inside of you, but he can't build it if you're not running, if you're not serving, and if you care more about your title or your position. I love that quote because we've seen that. We've seen that with students. We've seen just God gift students, but we've also seen the gift destroy them when it's not submitted, when it's not given back to God. Which leads me to my second point. In order to have a successful handoff, both parties must be running. If we were watching a relay race and the dude was just standing there like, come on, and the boom, the guy hits him at full speed, they're probably going to drop it, right? This is one of the reasons that we believe that if you read Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. This is what Rachel and I believe that we're called to do to this next generation, is get them running. Get them to catch up with the speed where the church is of, you don't know who Jesus is? Okay, let's tie your shoes. Let's get you into the Word. Now run. So they can run into churches and grab the handoff and carry this thing to the next generation. But we need the body of Christ. Everyone to care about the exchange zone. It doesn't matter how good a single person is. Like I shared, if Adrian doesn't get the ball, he's the same old running back as anybody else. Lastly, you need to hand the ball off. It doesn't happen through osmosis. They won't just get it. We can't be afraid of doing ministry a little differently. We can't be afraid of playing maybe worship music a little too loud than I like, a little too new than I like. We can't be afraid of those things. We need to let the younger generation take off with those things. Matthew 9, 36 and 38 says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers to his fields. I believe that there's a lot of workers that maybe God has called to the fields that we fail to give them work. They're too young. They're under 33. They look a little different than what we want them to. They haven't gone through discipleship 101 yet. We have to be able to do ministry a little different. We can't be threatened by that. We need to be aware that the handoff is short. We need to be running the same speed. And we need to hand the ball off. Has God given you gifts and talents, but we seem to just use them on ourselves? We need to start serving others. We need to start serving this next generation. Church, they need you. I would ask you today that no matter how old you are, pour into the next generation. And God may even be now starting to put faces into your mind, to put names on your heart. Like, I think I'm supposed to be their mentor. I think I'm supposed to disciple them. I think I'm supposed to pour into them. I want to ask you, are you running? Will you help them run? And will you hand it off? Will you help us reach the next generation? We need your help. Church, you've been a part of the foundation of our ministry. You are invested in reaching the next generation with us from pretty much day one. We thank you for your support. We thank you for your prayers. We thank you for your church coming down to us just randomly, praying with us, speaking into our lives. We have loved connecting with you this weekend, but we still need your help. Rachel and I are U.S. missionaries. We are looking for people, couples, and churches who have a heart to reach this next generation. We want to ask you today, would you pray about supporting us at 50, 75, 100, or whatever you can do? Our goal is to be 100% funded by next August so we can be full-time Chi Alpha. With that, we need to raise about $4,000 a month to do that. We're breaking that down. That's 40 people, 40 couples, 40 families, 40 whatever that would support us at 100 bucks a month, and we're done. We can be full-time. We're praying for sooner. We're aiming for Christmas break. With God, why not? He's kind of just told us, hey, it's out there. You need to do the fishing. So we're casting the lines out. But we'd love to connect with you after service. We have a newsletter sign up in the back if you want to know what God is doing in our ministry. Sign up for that. We want you to know about what God is doing in Mankato. We have information in the back how you can partner with us. And so at the end of service, we'll be back there. Connect with us. We would love to talk with you. We'd love to connect with you. But Pastor Dan, Watertown E-Free, thanks for having us. Thanks for hearing about the need. And thanks for partnering with us. Can I pray with you? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for this church. I thank you for their missions heart. I thank you for Pastor Dan's vision of reaching this community, of reaching out. Because sometimes a church is the last place that the unchurched want to be. I pray for more white flowers on the front of this building weekly, daily. Father, may Watertown E-Free be known as a church who's going out, who's being missional, who's going, who's doing the work that God has placed before them. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you that I pray over this generation. I pray that we don't see a generation like Judges that come up who neither acknowledges the Lord or know what he has done. Father, we stand here, we proclaim what you have done. Father, help us with the handoff. Help us to run the race with endurance. Help us to throw everything off. All of our excuses, all of our fears, all of our doubts. We say, Father, use me. Use us. Use this church to reach the next generation and to reach this community. Father, I thank you for their missional heart. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen. Well, there's a window of opportunity, right? It's a window. The window closes, so we have a window of opportunity. The signs of the times are here, and the Lord is coming back soon, so it's a window of opportunity. If he comes back next week, then all those who are lost, that's it. There's no second chances. College students, anybody that's a college student this morning, stand up, please. College students, Hannah. Zach. Okay. And if you are a parent or a grandparent of someone who's going to be heading off to college this year, would you please stand? I just thought of this today, so I apologize for that. But let us pray as they head off. And as you as parents and grandparents, as you think about those that are heading off, let's pray for them, that they take their faith with them and that they can be very effective in sharing the gospel. Would you pray with me? Father, as we've been thinking about the ministry of Chi Alpha and Lord, what they're doing on the campus of Mankato. Lord, these students are heading off to college. Some of them will still be around here and be going to college nearby, some far away. Lord, we ask that you would protect them, that you would establish them in a fellowship and allow them to be nurtured in their faith. But Lord, allow them to take their faith with them and to pass it along. Lord, whether it's a Christian school or not a Christian school, Lord, there's opportunities for ministry wherever they go. And we ask your rich, rich blessing on them. Now, Father, as we conclude our service, I think of those words that the Apostle Paul gave to his son in the faith, Timothy. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Father, Paul said he made the handoff and he was faithful. May you find us faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed